Well, a morning. Do you believe that, church? That God is working in our midst? Not just in this place, but in our own lives, in our communities, our neighborhood, our workplaces. When I look around the room, I think about all the different stories that we hear of how God's moving in your life. And it's just so cool to see how the Holy Spirit is accomplishing his work. Well, we are in Zechariah chapter 4 today. And I love the fact, maybe Chad just did this for me so I could be ready to give this message, but the fact that he did the summary at the beginning of Zechariah, because he laid out these 8 visions that Zechariah is going to have throughout this book. And then he told us that the visions correspond to each other, but in a different order than we would expect. 1 with 8, 2 with 7, 3 with 6, and 4 with 5. Today we're going to be looking at vision number 5. And we've unpacked this vision that Zechariah has of Joshua through the last chapter, the last couple weeks, that God is restoring his leader to accomplish his work. And that as he's restoring his leader, there's nothing that Joshua does in that vision at all. It's only God bringing him back to accomplish the work that only God can. And that's where we pick up in chapter 4. Verse 1 says this, "Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of sleep. And he said to me, 'What do you see?'" I love that it says, he wakened me as a man wakened out of sleep, but I don't think he actually was sleeping. In fact, I think that he is still trying to comprehend what he just saw. Joshua, the high priest, the representative of the people before God in filthy rags, and being restored that if you will walk in my ways, I will restore you to judge, to the courts, to lead the people, to represent the people before me. And we remember that this is a vision. So this is something that Zechariah is still going to have to tell Joshua. And he's going to have to tell another leader, Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the political leader. He was not the king, but the governor. And he would lead the people back to Israel. That word wakened, it's the Hebrew word or. And it doesn't just mean to wake up, but it also means to stir up. And the beauty of this passage is that this is not the first moment that God is stirring his people to accomplish his work. In fact, in 2 Chronicles 36:22 and Ezra 1:1, we see virtually identical passages about the leader of the Persian people, Cyrus. And it says that God stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. And once he stirred up that spirit, Cyrus made a decree: release the captives so that they can go back and build the temple and worship their God. We see that a couple verses later when it says he stirred up the spirit among the people to return to Israel. The people that God prompted to return, it wasn't everybody. It was a select group that God had individually said, you will return. Today, I want us to be awakened to God's work. We just sang the words, even when I don't see it, you're working. And one of the things I loved when I first came to Horizon was we held an all-team meeting on Wednesday. And it wasn't like what I think most of us experience in all-hands meetings. It wasn't this, all right, guys, here's the plan for the week, go do it. But rather, we played some games, we worshiped, we prayed together, and every single week we get together and do something called God sightings. How do you see God moving in this place? How do you see God moving in your personal lives? At home, at work, in your neighborhoods. And it's so easy for us to get caught up in the day-to-day that we don't see it. We don't understand it. We don't recognize it. When we get to the end, we look back and go, oh yeah, God was doing something. But we don't always see it. And so it was just so encouraging. It is so encouraging every week to have our children's pastor share something about how they're seeing a new family come and really dive in, how they're seeing people invite their neighbors, how groups are forming and leaders that we never expected to step up would step up to take leadership of a group of 10 or 12 men and women. And it's a beautiful thing when we awaken to the work that God is doing. The angel asked Zechariah, what do you see? So Zechariah is going to tell him. It says, so I said, I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. I feel like I would be very similar to Zechariah in this situation. And so I wanted to give you a picture. I'm a visual learner, so I wanted to give you a picture of what it seems like he is seeing in this vision. Actually, Gemini is going to give us a picture of it. And so here are some different images, and these images would have been familiar to Zechariah. Zechariah was from the priestly line. He would have recognized the golden lampstand. This lampstand, we have a picture of, the Israelites would understand this all the way back from Exodus 25. In the building of the tabernacle, inside of the holy place, there were three instruments. There was a table for showbread, which was a representation for the priest when he was in there working of the reminder that God provides, just as he did for those Israelites wandering in the desert. There's the altar of incense just before the Holy of Holies. And to the left, there would be the lampstand, the menorah. It would look very similar to this, seven branches, seven lamps. But Zechariah was seeing something new, something he hadn't seen before with it. There's a bowl on top of it and pipes that carried through. What would this mean? He's not sure. Then we see the olive trees, which would have been very prevalent, and both the lampstand and the olive trees would have represented a lot of human effort, a lot of human work. The olive trees obviously produced olives, and those olives would be pressed down. They would be provided from the people to light these lampstands, to keep them lit. And inside of this lampstand would have been bowls that would have held the oil. The reason Zechariah would recognize this was a daily priestly duty. The priest would go into the holy place. They would take the oil that the people had offered. They would refill the bowls. And they would trim the wicks to make sure that there wasn't smoke covering the curtains, covering the veil. Day after day, tedious work. And yet there's something new. This bowl represented the oil that would also be used as anointing oil. Oil that would cover, that would declare the priest and the political leader as one chosen by God to accomplish his work. And those branches are a conduit of the oil. And yet, still, if I'm Zechariah, I see the picture. I understand some of it. But what does this mean? So it says in verse 5, in verse 6, so he answered me and said, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." The word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. He says, not by might. The word there for might means military force, by human armies. And he says, you know that ragtag group of people you brought back? They're not going to be defeating your enemies. You can come up with all the plans you want. If it's not of my will, it will not be accomplished. Nor by power. He says, Zerubbabel, you can plan until the cows come home. You can devise everything to distract your enemies. You can try and do anything you want, but Zerubbabel, by your own wittiness, cunningness, strength, whatever it is, this is not going to be accomplished. It's only by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And I love that this is one of the two places we're going to see that term, Lord of hosts. It's a reminder, the God of armies, the God of angel armies will accomplish this. And so he continues and he says, who are you, O great mountain? That opposition, that thing that is standing in your way, I will take care of. It shall become a plain. It will be made flat before you. Nothing will stand in your way because of the work that my spirit is going to do. because of the work that my power is going to do. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. He says, Zerubbabel is going to complete the temple. And when he does, he's going to say, it was nothing that we as a people did. It was nothing that we individually could have accomplished, but only by God's grace. Something we did not deserve, did God rebuild his house. First thing we said was awake to God's work. And I want us to additionally be awakened to God's timing. God's timing is a hard thing because it's outside of our control. As human beings, we want to control everything. Am I right? We want to control the time of day, our schedules, what's going to happen, and oftentimes life smacks us in the face and we realize we're not really in control. And I think the angel is recognizing that even though he just explained it, Zechariah is still not getting it. So he continues. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. And I can imagine when Zerubbabel is going to hear this message, he's like, I'm going to complete the temple? Are you kidding? You know, for Zerubbabel, he comes back. He is leading the charge back from Persia to Israel. And on our timeline, we see in Ezra chapter 1 that when Cyrus receives the decree, or receives from the Spirit the decree that he's going to send the people back, he gathers all of the temple instruments that Nebuchadnezzar had taken and ransacked the temple from, and he gives them back to someone named Sheltazazar. Not an easy name. And yet, as it transitions from chapter 1 to chapter 2, we're introduced to this character with no explanation other than, and Zerubbabel led them back. So I believe this was the same person. That was his Babylonian name, and Cyrus gives the instruments to Zerubbabel. Because in chapter 2 it says, and with Zerubbabel came Joshua, and starts the list of individuals that return with him. And they get to work right away. Remember, the decree was to build the temple. And so they begin to build the temple. And in 2 years, they've got the foundation laid. And some neighbors hear about this. Former enemies that begin to distract, discourage, and when they say, hey, we want to help you. We've been worshiping your God, and it seems like there's some discernment there for Joshua and for Zerubbabel, and they're like, no, you're not going to be the ones that help us build this temple. And so the enemies begin to distract and discourage so that they do not build the temple for another 16 years. It's a long time. Instead, they go to work, building their own houses, building their own names for themselves rather than a place for God to work and commune in and among the people. I think there's a lesson there for us. I would ask you, what do you have going on your own timing right now? Honey, it's just a few more years. We've got to push and really, we've got to build up this account so that we can retire comfortably. Yeah, that's a good thing. Honey, I gotta bear down at work. I know it's long hours. It won't last forever. But the kids want to see you. I want to see you. And the things that God has for us, we put on hold to build our own name or in our own house. And if we were to have a "you are here" sign, it's that circle right there. Zechariah 4. It's been those 16 years. God has been speaking to Zechariah. He has also, at the same time, been speaking to a prophet named Haggai. And the two of them together will go to both Joshua and Zerubbabel and share the word of the Lord that God has placed on their heart here in Zechariah 4 and Haggai 1 and 2. And 4 years later, the temple is complete. Your hands have started the work, Zerubbabel. Your hands will complete it. I can't imagine what Zerubbabel would have felt like to have completed that work. What a relief. But it's been 20 years, and a lot has happened in that time. And God needed to restore in Zerubbabel, hey, now's the time. Stop building a name for yourself. Stop building your own temple. I want you to build my house for me. Third thing is, I want us to awake to God's will. When Jesus is in the garden, preparing to go to the cross, remember the prayer he makes. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And I believe that's a pivot moment here in the lives of Joshua and Zerubbabel. Because as Zechariah is still trying to process this, all right, so the lampstand, okay, that means us, right? That's Israel. We recognize God's light in our lives and we shine that light out to others. Okay, I get that. And apparently this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel that God's going to accomplish it. I think I get that. And the temple's going to be completed. Okay, I think I get that. So he goes back to his original question, though. He's still trying to figure it out. And he goes, then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees? You know, that's kind of the question he asked at the very beginning. What are these? That's all he really wanted to know. What do these trees mean? What are these branches? And I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? Then he answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. And this is what I love about reading passages verse by verse, chapter by chapter, because if I read that passage in a bubble, the anointed ones could be a lot, right? The lampstand usually means God, the witness of God's people. The trees usually mean a witness as well. And yet it seems like he's answering the second question, what are the branches? And he said, these are the anointed ones. The word anointed means sons of oil. Remember how we talked about the olive oil would be used to anoint the leaders, the political leader, the priestly leader, the chosen people that God was going to use to accomplish his work. And so when I look at this in context, I just saw the priestly leader be restored, Joshua. I just saw the governor, political leader be restored, Zerubbabel. These are the two anointed leaders through who I am going to accomplish the work. And you notice there's a flow of the oil. It's from the trees to through the branches, the anointed ones, to the lampstand, the witnesses. And in that day, it meant Israel. There's only one lampstand. And yet, it's a foreshadowing to two positions, priestly and kingly or governor leaders, foreshadowing to the ultimate leader, Christ, who would hold both priest and king role together and be empowered by the Spirit to accomplish the work that God had laid before him on the earth. There's another picture. It's in Revelation 11, and it's of two lampstands, Israel and the church, and those same two olive trees that empower individuals, witnesses, to carry out the word of God in the last days. And I'd encourage you, if you get together with a pathway group, or maybe you just take that pathway that's in the program and take it home and say, all right, let's look at that. What does Revelation say? How do these two things align? Because ultimately, it is ushering in Christ's forever kingdom, where he will sit on the throne as the priest king. We'll see that in Zechariah chapter 6. And through his Spirit, he will usher in a new kingdom. So I said this is for the Israelites then. It's foreshadowing to Christ. But what about us? We see the picture of God's anointing work on his leaders to encourage his people. It wasn't just Zerubbabel that completed the temple. It was Zerubbabel and Joshua and all the people working together to accomplish God's work and God's will. Drew did a great job of lining out our core values last week. And one of the core values that we hold dear is everyone helps out, everybody helping out. And it's this image of 2 Corinthians where it talks about the church as a body, that everyone who is in Christ, who has the Holy Spirit, has been given a gift. Some of us have the gifts to be able to teach. Some of us have the gifts to be able to lead. Some of us have the gifts of servanthood and all kinds of other gifts. And this picture of the body in Corinthians that Paul describes is that every part is important to accomplish his work. Some of you know exactly what that thing is that God has said, I want you to lean in here. I've given you this spiritual gift, and I want you to use it for my glory. And it may be that your greeting at the front door and your gift is hospitality, and everybody gets to experience that when they walk in. It could be that you love kids and you're in the back teaching kids, middle schoolers, high schoolers, serving coffee. Some of us feel like God's calling us to work, but we don't know what it is. We're still waiting. And in the meantime, we say, hey, I want to serve, so I'm out in the parking lot. And I feel like that's awesome. The church needs that. And I feel like God's calling me to use that gift to accomplish his work. To those of you that know it and are doing it, thank you. This place wouldn't exist without everybody helping out. And why do we do it? For that one person who will walk in the door for the first time and hear the gospel for the first time and have their life transformed. So we have an upcoming Wired to Serve. It's next weekend. And if you don't know what that gift is, or maybe you just don't know how to actively use it here in this body, it's an awesome opportunity. It's at 9:45. John Kirby's going to be leading it. And he really asked the question, what are you passionate about? Where do you feel like you're gifted? And how do we, and then kind of helps us guide into the role that it is that you can play here in his kingdom. It might not be at the church. It might be in your neighborhood. It might be in your community. From our last Wired to Serve, I met a new friend. And he came to Wired to Serve, and he was excited for what God had been doing in their lives. He had recently kind of had more time available as he was kind of pivoting from retirement and doing some consulting. And he said, I feel like I'm gifted in strategic leadership and in different avenues. I've been working in this area for a long time. And I feel like God's prompting me to give back to a place that has meant a lot for our family. But I don't know what that is. And so they had me sit down with him, and I just had an awesome time getting to know about his family, about what his life had been like, how God had really used his skills in the corporate world. And what he didn't know at that time was that we were getting ready to announce a building project that would need some strategic leadership alongside of myself, Chad, and the elders. A lot of vendor working and different things that he had been uniquely skilled at doing over the course of his career. I said, I think I might have something for you, but give me a couple weeks. And it's this beautiful picture of the church. Everybody coming together to accomplish God's work in our lives. So my challenge for us today is to be empowered by a strength outside of yourself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are always working, that you have a plan, that you see everything, you know everything, you know the end and the beginning, and that you use us. In my own example, unskilled, ordinary men and women, to accomplish the work that you could accomplish on your own. But you want to use us to be moved and shaped to do your work. Would you move in our lives? Would you make apparent to us the place that you're saying, I want you to lean in here, so that we can all as a body experience all of the gifts that you've given to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.